Ready, set, cut.
This is the Fantasy Burners Podcast. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for new episodes.
All right. Good evening. Good NFL evening. This is the Fantasy Burners Podcast. We're going to go ahead and throw the pads on, mouthpieces in, blow in the whistle, and here we go. I am Brandon.
And I am Matt.
And tonight on this NFL Sunday kickoff eve, we wanted to go over some highlights and a couple of things for the games. First, we're going to kick it off with some awesome signings that happened here in the last few hours. So we'll go into that first, and then we're gonna give kind of a quick analysis, start sets for each game, and just kind of give our take on what the outcomes are going to be. So Matt, I'll turn it over to you. Let's start into the signings.
Yeah, it was a super productive, kind of last push for people to get some deals done. The headliner for MoneyWise is Alvin Kamara getting a 5-year deal for $75 million. That's a pretty big signing. Has great downstream effects for what we would expect out of the Saints in the near future. So great pickup there. Got him signed up. I assume that he will kind of quit the holdout portion now. So he's back to full go. The Vikings signed Mr. Dalvin Cook. So all of you Alexander Mattison owners, you now have a roster spot open for the most part. And everybody with Dalvin Cook can breathe a sigh of relief knowing that you've got the guy in the Minnesota backfield. So 5 years, $63 million. So he got a little bit less than Kamara did. I don't know the guarantees, so that might actually be a little bit misleading. But he, from an overall valuation standpoint, signed for less, but still a very healthy contract for a running back coming up here. So good for him. And then the last one that kind of flew under the radar, Cooper Kupp signing a 3-year deal for $48 million, an extension with the Rams. So that's got a lot of implication, at least for my dynasty team. And I think it goes a long way into saying where they actually value Cooper Kupp and where he falls in the pecking order between Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, where they see the long-term future of their team. So that's a pretty big commitment to a guy at the wide receiver position. We know Amari got 20 per year in his deal, but this is only for 3 years and it's for 48. So it's not too far off, but Cooper Kupp is also, not expected to be the outright one. So yeah, we can kind of go into some of those things, but those were the three big signings. I think they were all needed. I think they were all necessary. They needed to get done. It hurts AJ Dillon for sure. Sorry, wrong one. I'm looking at Aaron Jones. I'm looking at a big profile picture of Aaron Jones right now. And dreaming of what those legs of AJ Dillon's would do to linebackers and safeties coming in the league. So, yep, I've got the Green Bay on the mind. So let's talk some schedule.
let's jump right into it. So
I'm excited.
I am super pumped. All right. First game. So Sunday, the 1 o'clock schedules, we'll just go through those. We'll just talk through some of our start sets, kind of predicting outcomes and just go from there. So Philly, Washington is the first one that I've got up. Matt, you want to take that one or you want to take the next one first?
Well, I want to just back up because we haven't actually addressed this yet. Do we want to make sure the listeners know who won the actual first beer bet for this podcast? Let's just recap that real quick. So if you
there's
guys
an
don't
asterisk.
Remember.
There's an asterisk.
There's no, that's there. Yeah. If that means, that you're going to buy a 40 ounce instead of, I don't know if we're talking about, a growler at this point, but, definitely lost. You owe me beer and I'm excited and thirsty. So
I do. That's okay. We still got that Drew Lock bet out there. So, I feel pretty, I've got a little bit stashed away, I think to
you have nothing stashed away.
All right. Philly, Washington, 1 o'clock Eastern. It's going to be 11 o'clock my time. Matt, I think it's noon for you in Central time. Yep. So why don't you jump into that?
That's a perfect game to start with. Everybody who owns Boston Scott, run his little butt into your lineup and play him immediately. This has the most intrigue from a running back position out of any of the games. Maybe save Aaron Jones and Dalvin Cook, but we'll get to that here in a minute. But as far as what we can expect out of the running back position between Philadelphia and Washington, it's a coin flip. I mean, you could get the two top league scorers in week one in a game that nobody's really watching. Boston Scott and Antonio Gibson, I've got shares of both of them in quite a few leagues. I think Antonio Gibson is set to catch a ton of passes in that offense because they're not going to throw it downfield, and Haskins is always going to be under pressure. So I'm full go, no stop on Terry McLaurin. If you've got him, you're playing him. Antonio Gibson, I would play him in this matchup. I think it's juicy. I think the Eagles are going to be terrible. Their offensive line is horrendous. I don't even know if Lane Johnson is going to play now. They signed Jason Peters off of the scrap heap mid off season, like basically a month and a half ago, and then paid him more to move him to left tackle. And he's a geriatric. So they're going to get beat up on the offensive line, continue to get beat up on the offensive line. Good news being that Rager is not actually going to hit the IR. So he's actually looking like he's going to get some playing time. But I do worry about Miles Sanders' hamstring. I've been pretty low on Miles Sanders coming in this year. And this is just further proof that I would probably – you're not going to flip him right now. It's not time to trade him because you'd be trading low. You'd be selling low. So, but you're you run out Boston Scott. You're going to run out Carson Wentz most likely. Depends on your quarterback scoring format. But it's not going to be a high-scoring game. Or it might be for a couple pretty – you know, a couple good running backs because there's going to be a ton of trash points. So –
what about what advice are you going to give D-Jax owners?
I'm okay with it. Our eldest brother Justin has thrown out a possible scenario. What was his possible scenario of D-Jax will have less than 8 targets and possibly half a touchdown? I think is what he did.
Yeah, half of the yardage. Half the yardage, less than 8 receptions, and possibly a touchdown. That's still a pretty solid game. I mean,
yeah, I'm okay with that because I actually think, yeah, I think they're going to run the ball so much. I don't think Philly's going to be in a big passing script here. I think they're going to turn around and hand it off to Boston Scott and do a lot like what the Chiefs just did. I think Boston Scott is due for probably 23. I mean, he's going to get 23, 25 total touches between receptions and rush attempts. So super confident in him. Very confident in Zach Ertz. There is a little bit of disgruntledness between them, but that's neither here nor there. You're going to play him if you've got him. So, he's a fine wide receiver 3 flex guy. If you want to throw him out there, I'm not super bullish on him, but.
Yeah, I look at the Washington secondary and it's total trash. So, I think they're bottom 3 from a defense perspective that the experts kind of have them ranked at, and they did a little bit up front and at their linebacker over the off season, but their secondary, they didn't do a thing. So, I'm looking to see DeSean Jackson open a couple times. So, I think we'll see him north of 50 and, 5 catches and then probably a touchdown. So that's a pretty decent game. All right. Let's move on. Miami, New England. So I'll give kind of my take on this first, and then you can do your talk. So the quarterback position is I think similar to the running back position, at least for me. It's a coin flip, right? Fitz could go out there and have 30 points like he does sometimes when he pulls the rabbit out of the hat, and he could also go out there and get 5 points. So it's hard to say what quarterback is going to show up week to week with him. And then on the New England side, it's Cam's first outing. So it'll be really interesting. I'm more interested to see how he plays. We know Fitzpatrick, like he's boom or bust at the quarterback position. That's why he's a 16 year journeyman. Like the guy's been in the league forever. And he's actually getting ready to pass. If he gets, I think the number was like 268 yards. He's getting ready to pass, Steve Young, Y.A. Tittle, and
yeah,
one other Hall of Famer. I can't remember. It's off the top of my head, but he's getting ready to pass those guys, which is crazy considering, you know, they've won multiple Super Bowls, or they won multiple Super Bowls, and he's just a journeyman. So that's kind of where
do you want any part of any player in this game?
No, there's too much risk. Like I don't want it.
Who do you think wins the game?
That one's a tough one.
Buddy.
It depends on what quarterback shows up. I got Miami. I've got Miami and New England so close this year. I've got the Bills winning that division, the AFC East this year. I've got Miami and New England pretty darn close, and then the Jets obviously bringing up the trail into that. But I don't want to pick either one of them.
That's acceptable. Okay, so I think we can. Yeah, yep. I'm not gonna put any analysis on that. Next game, Green Bay, Minnesota. Perfect game. I like this game. Running backs, you're going to get a ton of running back work out of this game. You're going to run out Davante Adams, and I think you can – and you're going to run out Adam Thielen. There's too much draft capital in Adam Thielen to not run him out there, and I think it's a good matchup. I think this is probably the next game. Like, if I have – there's two games in this scenario that I want a piece of. Three games that I want a piece of, and I would be – bullish on playing anybody that I have on either of those teams, and this is one of them. So if I've got Aaron Rodgers, I'm playing him. I think he's going to have a big week. I think he's going to come out and do some RELAX on the league here in the first 6 weeks. So I think he's going to come out like a lightning bolt, and Green Bay is going to be humming right along. They were 13-3 last year, and they are just getting dogged. So I actually want a lot of pieces in the Green Bay offense, mainly because there's really only three. If you have one of those three pieces, you're feeling pretty good about running them out there. And then the Vikings, I'm not starting Kirk Cousins. I have never liked Kirk Cousins. I don't like his passing volume. So there's no way that I'm starting Kirk Cousins in any league. I'd much rather have a lottery pick on one of those waiver wire quarterbacks. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, with Cook signing, I think that they're just, he's going to get north of 20 touches. Like they're just going to run him. So, I don't want to touch Kirk Cousins with a 10-foot pole. That's stay far away. I agree with the analysis.
How long would the pole have to be for then you to touch him? That's a strange question. And make sure you don't hear what I'm not saying.
Well, I'm guessing you're like, how desperate do I have to be to put the guy in?
That's a better way to phrase it.
I'd probably start him over Cam this week. I don't know what to expect.
I don't know what to expect.
Like the upside is there for Cam. We know what Kirk Cousins is going to give you. He's going to give you 15 points. Like that's it. Cam, I have no clue. I'm risk averse. I don't like to go for the guys that have, they haven't done anything with their current team. Obviously Cam's done a lot in his history in the league, but Kirk Cousins, we know what we're going to get in Minnesota. Right. Yeah. So you can put him in there confidently knowing that he's going to get 15 points and that's it. So if that's what you need, then just toss him in. I agree with the Green Bay assessment, right? Aaron Jones, Adams, and then, question, you're pretty high on Rodgers. Where do you got him this week? Top five, top 10?
There's not many people that I'm running out there over Rodgers. So, if I had to ballpark at one, just looking through the teams,
like Dak, Russell,
two, three. Yeah, maybe he's four.
All right. You got him ahead of Big Ben this week?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Next game.
Indy and Jacksonville. If you have one of the two Indianapolis backs this week, you're still feeling pretty good. Marlon Mack is going to get a lot of touches. So I think you can still run him out there with pretty good confidence. with, you know, without.
Hey, take a pause real quick. We have a special guest appearance.
All right.
Hey guys.
Hey Dad.
Elder. Hey Dad. The elder statesman has arrived.
Is he going to give us some analysis?
No, he just waved me on and then he's looking for somewhere to go to bed.
Not where you're recording, huh?
Right. And he found it.
Okay.
All right.
Tell him night.
Yeah.
Okay. So Marlon Mack, I'd feel pretty confident rolling him out there. Jonathan Taylor, if you've got him, stash him this week.
I'm gonna sit on it for a week.
I wouldn't take the risk. You just be happy, right? He's gonna be on your bench, and that's okay. You know that,
yeah.
Like if he comes out and he scores 20 points, just be happy, right? Because this is going to be the lowest volume week that he's going to have unless he just totally collapses, right? So this week, just wait it out, hold your breath. Get him in next week. Like it'll be fine.
See, and I actually just went and traded for Jonathan Taylor, in one of my leagues. I gave up Kenny Golladay, actually to, Mr. Barry, not in our league of record, but in another league that we're in. I traded Kenny Golladay straight up for Jonathan Taylor, because my wide receivers were stacked and his running backs were stacked, and it worked out really well. And I'm going to play the long game with Jonathan Taylor. And I think, the best thing that could happen right now is for Marlon Mack to get all of the carries and be a dud against Jacksonville. And then they just start running him out there and he just takes over. So I'm expecting by week four that that's his backfield. And if that's the case, I just gave up a top 12 wide receiver for a top 5 running back. So,
I think the value. And I think the value. So I'm not super high on Taylor for Dynasty, just because of the workload that he's going to get. I'm risk averse. I don't like the fact that they're just going to give him 200. He's going to get north of 250 every single year, including this year, I think. There's just so many times a running back can just grab the ball and hit linebackers. There's just so many times. So from a dynasty perspective, I don't like him this year. I really like him next year. I'm going to like him even more. Past that, we'll see what happens. You know, what injuries, you know, pop up. I think it's going to eventually happen. So I wasn't very high on him in dynasty league and our league. There were other rookies out there that I was much higher on just because they profile a lot better for longevity. Put him on your bench. Like that's I think the best advice that I can give anybody for this week, bench him. Jacksonville. No. I'll let you give any analysis that you have. I'm not high.
My shameless plug. Everybody be looking for the LaVisca Chenault.
The beast.
He is. Yeah, get ready. I've been right, and I will continue to be right. And anybody who is not on my bandwagon with this, you're wrong. So here we go. Week one.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Moving on.
Chicago, Detroit. Go ahead. You can give your analysis.
Yeah, I don't want any part of anything in Chicago. Hard pass on any Bears. As far as the Lions go, I would run Matt Stafford out there pretty confidently. I don't want anything to do with that backfield. And then the only other player, unfortunately, that I would run out there is Marvin Jones, who we continue to talk about, and you ended up landing him in free agency. So Marvin is due for a very big game. He in tandem with Matt Stafford they're the only pieces of this game that you want.
Unless you're in a redraft league that has defenses and you could maybe make the argument for Chicago. Maybe.
No, no, I would play the Lions defense over the Bears defense for sure.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I could probably get behind
going against too. Trubisky. They named you forget that they named Trubisky the starter, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good for two or three interceptions.
And all right. Sacks.
D-Jax or Marvin Jones?
Jones.
This week. Yeah.
Jones.
Okay.
Long, full year. This week, full year.
This week.
Yeah, it's Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, full year is Jones for sure. I just, you know, I know a lot of people are high on Deshaun Jackson. I'm pretty high on him. I'm really torn between the two just because I don't know if, you know, Galladay not being there actually maybe puts a little bit more coverage back to Jones, because he's the clear number one. But he becomes the only target too, though. So it's kind of a which direction do you want to go with that? So, okay. Las Vegas, Carolina, you picked up the quarterback that I was hunting for, Derek Carr. I think he's going to have we're going to see him in a top 15 finish this year. He's not going to give you that super high ceiling. He's got a pretty good floor. He's consistent. He's like a juiced up Kirk Cousins, right? You know what you're going to get. You can plug him in there. I think he's a good bye round or a, you know, bye week fill-in quarterback. Josh Jacobs, I think he's a starter like in every week in and out. You know, I'm super high on him. Also Christian McCaffrey, I don't think we have much to say there. That's a pretty easy plug in. So DJ Moore. Yes. The name was escaping me. Yes. DJ Moore. So I think those are your starters.
Waller.
Yeah. Yeah. Darren Waller too. That's correct. Yeah.
There's quite a few pieces. And I think this is a good opportunity for everybody to see who Bryan Edwards is, the rookie wide receiver in Las Vegas. He is a beast. He's a freak of a man as well. And I think he is due for a big year. I was not a Henry Ruggs fan, so I think he steps into that number one role where Tyrell Williams stepped out of, and I think he's going to have a big year. So,
yep.
All right, okay. Bills and Jets.
Yep, Bills and Jets. Go ahead.
I keep getting the ones that I get to hard pass on an entire team, but hard pass on the Jets team in totality.
Makes it easy.
Just terrible. Just Adam Gase just destroys everything good. Bills. Josh Allen, you can start Diggs if you want. I don't necessarily like him in this matchup very well because I think the Jets are going to give up a lot of points. So I like Zach Moss as a nice kind of sleeper pick. I think he's going to get a lot of work. Again, I think this is going to be something where the Bills probably run the ball collectively 40 times as a team. You know, I think Zach Moss probably gets, you know, 15 carries. Devin Singletary might get 15 carries. And Josh Allen's probably going to have 12 carries. I think they're just going to run the ball a ton because they're not going to have to pass it. So I'm fading Diggs in week one because I just don't know what that passing volume is going to look like. And if you need to take a flyer on a deep sleeper, I think Zach Moss is one that you could pretty confidently roll out there and have a fairly safe floor this week.
Yeah, I think Diggs and Brown are going to do okay out there. I'm not as low on them as you are. I think because of the rushing between Singletary and Zach Moss and Allen that they're going to have to really make sure and cover that. I think that's going to open up the passing game a little bit. So I think Diggs and Brown will have a decent game. I'm not super high on them. Like they're not, you know, I don't peg them as either one as a top, you know, 10 receiver or anything like that. But I think they're a solid start. Wide receiver too, pretty solid start. Either one, actually. Okay. Cleveland, Baltimore. Cleveland backfield. Yeah, that was horrible. There's a bunch of B's right in there. Cleveland backfield. You've got Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I think that you could confidently throw Chubb out there. Kareem Hunt, if you had to, he could throw him as a flex player. You know, just because I think that Baltimore is going to be eyeing that, you know, that 1-2 down attack, and then you've got Kareem Hunt being able to spread it out on third down. Baker Mayfield, I mean, I'm not super high on him. I've never been super high on him, so he doesn't even crack, you know, top 15 for me.
No, he won't start.
So yeah, I'm out on that. Gosh, I don't know what to think about their receivers just because of the history of disappointment over the last couple of years. You know, OBJ, What's he going to do this year?
He's in a prove it mode. He's, for me, he's got to come out and have three pretty solid weeks.
So is Jarvis Landry. All
confidently. You can put Jarvis in there. He's a 1,000-yard receiver literally every year. The only year I think that he didn't have 1,000 yards. Well, no, that might be misspeaking there. He definitely didn't have 1,000 yards his rookie year, but I mean, he's going to get volume where Odell is not guaranteed volume. He has the propensity to go off and have those massive weeks, but Jarvis Landry is basically guaranteed volume. So I feel pretty safe about running Landry out, but
just so
I worry about Odell.
Just so you're aware, Jarvis Landry only had 976 yards in 2018.
Yeah, but the only other year that he had 1,000 yards, he had like 980. So,
yeah, he's right at 1,000 yards almost every year. Yeah,
five of his. Yeah, so you're good. You're safe there.
Yeah, but I think you're okay with that.
Yep. You want to take a bet straight up on Chubb scoring versus Hunt scoring?
Touchdown!
I'll take Hunt. Points.
Overall points.
You said you're gonna run out Chubb, and you're kind of okay if you run out Hunt on a flex appeal type thing. So I'm taking the guy that you're putting in the flex where you're taking the guy at RB1. So
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. I feel good about that. I mean, Chubb can make it happen.
Two?
Are we doing two beers?
Yep.
This is a two beer bet. All right. Yep. We'll do two beers. That's fine.
Okay.
All right. Baltimore. Obviously Lamar's going out there. No questions asked. Just put him in. How do you feel about Ingram? You feel safe?
No, but you're going to play him. I don't feel safe.
Yeah, I think that's right. I feel that's right. Like you're going to see him out there and you're like, well, I got to start.
I have shares of J.K. Dobbins in the same manner that I have shares of Jonathan Taylor. I'm playing the long game with it. I think J.K. Dobbins is just a better running back at this point, and eventually it's going to be his backfield. So, no, I don't feel good with Ingram. But at the same time, the Ravens are going to try to run the ball. So do I feel like Ingram is locked in for probably 14 carries and three catches? Yeah.
Yeah. Hollywood. I don't feel great about putting him out there, but you know, if you need a like an ours is pretty deep, right? We got three wide receivers and flex. If he's your number three, I don't think that's horrible. I think you could do worse, but I wouldn't feel great about it. Mark Andrews is obviously a start week in and week out. I think he's gonna have. Yeah, I think he's a lock. So other than that, anybody else?
Nope.
Willie Sneed. Miles Boykin?
No, pass. Like moving on.
Yeah, hard pass. All right. Seattle, Atlanta, I'll give you that since that's not a
complete pass. I get to talk about both teams now.
Exactly.
This is one of the games. This is one of the other games that I want multiple pieces in. You want anything that has to do with Atlanta. I'm good with literally running out any of their offensive weapons. You're going to run out Matt Ryan, Todd Gurley, Hayden Hurst, Calvin Ridley, and then, you know, last and probably least, right, Julio Jones. You're super confident in all of those guys, so play them. Seattle's defense isn't the Legion of Boom, so they're going to score points. And then as far as Seattle goes, you're basically
– Let Russ cook.
Yeah. Thanks. Mr. – what did he call himself? Mr. Unlimited? Anyway, so you're going to play Russell. You're start Chris Carson with confidence for sure. And then I'm okay with running Lockett and DK Metcalf as wide receiver twos on any team out there, because I think they're going to have to score to win the game because Atlanta's going to put up points. So I'm good with any of the options. I don't want the tight end. The only position I don't want is tight end in Seattle, but every other piece within this game, you can go ahead and start. You can run them out there pretty confidently.
Who is it? Greg Olsen? Is he tight end this year?
And Will Disley.
Yeah, I'm out on that too. And Russ doesn't really have a history in the last few years of, not that I recall, of making tight ends fantasy relevant.
He can't ever have one stay healthy. They're always hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Chargers, Bengals. So Keenan Allen, I think that's a lock for your start there. Austin Eckler's obviously your running back start. I think those are pretty easy. Gosh, who is it? Is it Tyrod?
Yeah.
Is Tyrod the starting quarterback? I don't like it. I think though that he's going to have a decent fantasy year. Just because of his feet, right? I think he's going to be able to go out there and pick up, 500 yards on the ground just by himself, which obviously offsets his fairly low passing ceiling that he's not going to have. So I think you can probably stash him and see what he does. And if he starts to make a wave with his feet, then you can look at plugging him in on bye weeks and stuff like that. But I don't have any shares of him.
No, I'm not. I think it's a waste of a roster spot.
Yeah.
You're holding a guy that you'll never feel confident playing. So don't hold him. So.
Yeah. Mike Williams, is he playing? I can't remember. No. I think he's in. Is he out? Okay. So he's out this week. But typically you want to have him. I would want to have him. I do have him stashed on a roster just to see what happens. Just because he's huge and he makes amazing plays. It'll just be interesting to see if he actually gets a quarterback this year or not. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. So it'll be real interesting to see how he does. Tyler Boyd is the only receiver that I really want anything to do with, on that team for week one, just to see if AJ does anything. We've talked about this. I'm low on AJ Green. So Boyd is the only one that I would care about on that team. And then Joe Mixon obviously just signed his contract a couple weeks ago. So he's going to go out there. He's going to pick up 20 carries and they'll call it a game. Anybody else?
I mean, I'm starting AJ Green in our league. So I want AJ Green.
You paid $18 for him.
No, I mean, I almost started Will Fuller. And I think that I made the right decision. I think AJ Green could, I think this is a game where, again, I think AJ is going to come out not very happy with where his career trajectory has taken him at this point. If he is truly healthy, he and Burrow could be pretty, pretty potent and dangerous. So yeah, I'm starting him pretty confidently. So.
Okay. That's fair. I want nothing to do with him. All right. Arizona, San Francisco. I'll give that one to you.
I mean, Arizona is obvious. You want Kenyon Drake. You're going to start Kenyon Drake. You're going to start D-Hop. And you're going to start
Kyler.
And Kyler. Yeah. And you're going to start Kyler. And I think I would not like their matchup coming into this. Kyler might get sacked six times. So I do have Mr. Bosa as one of my IDPs as a – and this could be a huge monster game for IDPs on the San Francisco side, because when you have a running quarterback, you have the chance to make open field tackles, which count as sacks, which count as, tackles as loss, all the different things that give you those multipliers. So on the San Francisco side, I want very, very little shares of any of this nonsense. Yeah. Kittle, you're going to run Kittle out there. But they're basically telling the world that we have a four-headed monster at running back. And that is poison to the ears of every fantasy owner. Jerick McKinnon is tearing it up, but then he has to go through Raheem Mostert, who they just gave more money to because he was mad. And they also have Tevin Coleman. So how do you, and then you've got Kyle Juszczyk, who is just a vulture at the, at the goal line. So I don't have a lot of shares of this, but if you get one or two injuries in that backfield, then it becomes a must go to, that becomes the waiver wire, sought after pick, because there is so much potential in that Shanahan offense, specifically in the running back position. And Garoppolo, hard pass. I don't want anything to do with Garoppolo.
Who is their wide receiver one?
Well, Debo just went on the IR. I was really hopeful that he would not do that.
Yep.
And then is Brandon Ayuk, is he hurt as well?
He's questionable. They've got on the depth chart, they've got Kendrick Bourne in as their wide receiver one.
No,
Kendrick Bourne, sorry. Brandon Ayuk. Yeah.
This is an easy answer. Their wide receiver one is George Kittle.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So hard pass on all receivers except for George Kittle.
Yes.
And nothing, no love for Mostert.
No, because you can't predict it. You have no confidence in it. You run him out there. If you feel confident in it, then man,
he's confident in it.
He is, but I'm not. I mean, he could theoretically get 8 carries and be the leading rusher from a carry total on the team. I mean, the leading rusher on the team could have 10 carries, the person who gets the ball the most. But then Tevin Coleman could have 7 catches out of the backfield, and Jerick McKinnon could have 3 catches from the slot. Jerick McKinnon actually might be their number one wide receiver. He might be their slot wide receiver and catch 7 balls.
Yep, might be. All right, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. I'm going to start with New Orleans. The Saints are pretty easy to just kind of run down real quick. Breeze, start. Kamara, start. Thomas, start. Just in case anybody was wondering, that's who you should throw in there. I actually have a share of Emmanuel Sanders. So I think he's going to clearly be their number two. I think this year the defenses are going to get wise to Drew Brees and the Michael Thomas connection. So I think that you're going to see more double teams or safeties cheating over that direction. So I think that's going to leave their number two in positions to get some receptions, right? And while the number two in New Orleans didn't have a great season last year, who was it? Was it Ted Ginn? Was he their number two? I think that's who it was.
They basically didn't have a number two. It was because
he had 60. Yeah, he had like 65 receptions or something stupid. But I'm tilting a little bit with Emmanuel Sanders. I do like him as kind of a pickup and stash to see what happens, right? Because I want to see how the defenses react to Michael Thomas this year. I think it'll be interesting to see his receptions go down. And those have to go somewhere because Drew Brees is too good of a quarterback to not get it to somebody. And you know, he obviously has a favorite. It's usually the guy that's open. So, you know, if Emmanuel Sanders is the guy that's open, he's going to get to him. And Emmanuel Sanders has had a great career and he's still, I think, you know, relevant. Hell, he was on San Francisco's team last year. So, you know, they made it to the Super Bowl. So I think there's a lot to say for that. Tampa Bay, this one's so tough, because Brady and Winston played completely different styles, which, you know, Winston obviously made Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, you know, he obviously helped with their fantasy relevance last year on a horrible offense because he was just slinging it every chance he got. He had, 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, something crazy like that, and 5,000-plus yards. So obviously your receivers are the benefactors of that. There's no risk from a receiver perspective when your quarterback – yes, if he throws 30 interceptions, that's problematic. But if he throws 5,000 yards as well, you're going to have top performances. So from a fantasy perspective, I actually got rid of some of my shares of Mike Evans. I used, you know, as trade bait. So I was leaning away a little bit because I don't know what Brady is going to do in that offense. You got Gronk back there now too. I like Gronk. I have a share of him because I picked him up for $1 last season on our dynasty squad, which made me so happy at the beginning of the year whenever it was announced that he was joining Brady in Tampa Bay.
Way too high on him.
Made that $1 all the more worth it. He's going to be a top. He's going to be a top 12. I think he's going to be top 12. Top 12.
No.
You know what? Six through 19 are basically the same person. So
correct.
I can confidently say he's going to be a top 12.
Well, there you go. Way to
right in the middle.
Confidently. Hey, fun fact. So I think a lot of people overlook this. So you said that Jameis Winston was slinging it all around last year.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, how many passes? So Tom Brady threw less passes. How many passes less did Tom Brady throw than Jameis Winston last year?
Well, that's, I mean, pass totals don't represent what they were actually doing, right? Because Brady, his history is giving it to backs. And
wouldn't a Brady pass be worth more than a Jameis Winston pass?
Not from a receiver, no. Because if you're a receiver, you're 30 yards down the field. If you're Jameis, if you're Brady, you're slanting across the middle for 5 yards, right? Well, which there's more opportunity after the catch. But
here's my argument. I think you're right to fade Mike Evans. I think anybody who isn't going out and doing whatever you can to get a hold of Chris Godwin is absolutely nuts. Because that's Chris Godwin was not a person who was going 30 yards down the field to catch a ball. He was living in that 10, 15, 20-yard realm, which is where Edelman has lived for the entirety of his career. Danny Amendola, all of the guys who come out of that New England mold, and Chris Godwin is a better receiver than a lot of those guys from a playmaking after the catch ability standpoint. So I think a pass from Tom Brady within that realm is significantly more valuable than a Jameis Winston pass. And he threw 13 less passes than Jameis Winston threw last year.
I figured it was going to be close.
It was super close. I was really surprised when I looked that up and I went, holy crap, Chris Godwin's going to have a bigger year than he had last year. And I think I don't really care about the 30 touchdowns. If Chris Godwin can come out and get, you know, a 12 catch day, it doesn't matter if you score a touchdown or not. Because if you're catching 12 passes, you're starting at a base of 12. Now, how much yardage do you have? 100 yards? Okay. Well, now you're at 22 points on the week. And if you happen to get a touchdown, you're the wide receiver one for the week. So,
Yep. No, I think you're right. I think Godwin, it fits Brady's profile way better than Mike Evans does. I think all that's fair. Okay, let's move on.
I just want to say one more thing. This game is the scariest game for me. I don't like this game. The only two people that I really want any part of is Michael Thomas and Chris Godwin. I'm a little bit worried about Kamara coming out flat. He did have back issues through the offseason, so he got an epidural in his back in the offseason. Because he's having spasms and stuff, he's trying to get everything to calm down, so I worry about his health. And I could actually see this being a pretty low-scoring game. I know everybody thinks this is going to be the barn burner, but I worry about the pieces in this game.
Ah, Kamara will be fine. No Fournette? Yeah.
No, that's gross.
Yeah. And no Jones, obviously.
No.
Okay. Dallas, LA, you want to take it?
Yeah. Yes. I want every piece of everything that I can get in this game. want all the Cowboys. Dak's going to start. The only one you're probably, I would feel pretty confident in a 12 or 14 team. You know what? I'm not going to say that. I feel good about Blake Jarwin over the course of the year, but I don't know if I'd run him out right now. I want to see how that offense operates. You want Amari, you want Michael Gallup. It's a lot like the Chiefs offense where you don't really know who's going to get the volume, but somebody's going to get it and you just hope it's your guy. So you want every piece of the Dallas offense. It's going to be a high scoring game. I don't think either of these teams want to come in and play defense. So I think they're going to sling it around and I'm okay with running Jared Goff out there. I think Dallas's secondary is suspect at best. So I'm good with running Jared Goff out there and I have Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp is going to have a gigantic year. And I think Robert Woods is a fine play. I don't like all of the people talking up Robert Woods and then, you know, taking a poop on Cooper Kupp. That makes no sense to me. But I think they're both going to be pretty much the same player throughout the year. I think Cooper Kupp is the go-to touchdown guy. You know, when they get down there close to the touchdown or, you know, close to the red zone, Jared Goff looks to Cooper Kupp to get open and he just does it. So I like his touchdown potential. And then my sneaky play of the week is I would start Malcolm Brown and run him out there and get what you can out of him. He's very similar to me as a Will Fuller. You don't know how long you're going to have, so you might as well try to get something out of him while you have him and not just completely waste that roster spot. And he's also that person who I'm looking to have a monster 1 or 2 weeks and then flip for a piece. I don't want to hold him long term. He's not the answer there, but at the same time, he could be super productive in that offense. So
yeah, it's crazy. You've got you know, you've got 4 to 5 solid starts in LA. You've got about the same, maybe one more piece that you can feel okay with. You probably still at 4 or 5, right? 3 receivers, running back, quarterback. And then, like you say, you're not fading. You're just hesitant on Jarwin at this moment. Just want to see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, with all the receptions vacated last year, CD's not going to eat up all those. It's got to go to somebody. So you can see either Amari or Gallup, maybe both, have a little bit of an increase from last year's performance. So those are pretty safe bets. Zeke's obviously safe bet, Dak's safe bet. And then, yeah, LA's, you know, in a very similar situation. So, okay. Pittsburgh, New York, Pittsburgh, Big Ben, Connor, Juju. Everybody's talking about Deontay Johnson. I'm okay with it. Like, I'm okay that people are high on it. I get it. I'm just not there. I'm not as high on him. I think Juju is going to see a huge increase this year. You know, I think he has very, very good potential to have a top eight season. Connor, I actually feel like he may, until he gets injured, right? He's going to be a 20 plus point back week in and week out. I think that's, you know, I think that's where his floor is at. The guy is just unbelievable. I think 2 seasons ago he scored like 350 points in the backfield. He was just unstoppable. So I think you can feel pretty good about that, putting him out there if he's healthy. Who am I missing on Pittsburgh?
No one. Eric Ebron. Yeah. He's a sleeper.
Yeah, he's a sleeper tight end. Yeah.
I love him.
But he's not your start this week. You don't know what he's gonna do.
I will. Like, I am. I actually am starting him this week. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, you're welcome.
Super confident too. He is a freak of an athlete. And they're talking because who are you going to run that? You're going to go 3 wide. You're going to have 3 people running a pass route. You've got Deontay Johnson and you've got Juju. You feel better about running Chase Claypool, a rookie on a, you know, a crossing route across the middle, or do you run Eric Ebron, who is a touchdown catching machine, when he gets his hands on it, he reels it in. And everything from camp is they love him. So I feel really good about his volume going into the year, and I think he's one of those guys that nobody's talking about that's gonna blow up. So, and he's not gonna blow up. It's not a sneaky play. Like, this guy does what he does. It's not like he's been trash since he's been in the league. He is a good athlete, and he's just been, unfortunately, you know, he had terrible quarterback. He was with, you know, the year he was with Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, he was one of the highest scoring tight ends in the league from a touchdown, especially from a touchdown perspective. And I think that's just only going to get better. So,
yeah. So where do you put him in at? Where do you profile him at? Like, I mean, you don't profile him up there with Ertz and Andrews, do you?
I'm not.
You have Ertz.
Well, I do have Ertz. It's a weekly thing, right? So yeah. I want Ertz in this matchup because Washington's not very good. And you know what? And I don't know if I do, because they have some internal stuff that they need to get figured out between Ertz and Philadelphia. He seems disgruntled, and I don't want disgruntled players out there on the field, because you're not giving full effort in the NFL. You're not going to perform. So, I mean, I don't know. I would probably take a flyer on, you know, Ebron this week.
Interesting. All right. So, tight ends in this matchup, Ingram and Ebron. You take an Ebron or Ingram?
Oh, for sure. Ebron.
Yeah, Ebron. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with Ingram. He's
that's why I traded him to me. Yeah. So he's my second tight end. So I actually have him going out this week. So I think as long as he's healthy, he's fine if he doesn't get hurt like in the first quarter. So if you get hurt this weekend, do it in the fourth quarter. Other than that, Saquon's the only guy. I'm no on Daniel Jones. I do have Darius Slayton. I'm just stashing him, see what happens, because there's got to be a number one. I don't think it's Golden Tate or Sterling Shepard.
I think by default it's Sterling Shepard.
By default, right now on paper it's Sterling Shepard. Yes, but
I'm
taking the flyer.
Yeah, we talked about this in the preseason where they don't actually have their number one yet. Their number one is playing college ball right now. So
none of
these guys are number ones. So just get what you can get out of them. There's going to be one of these guys that catch 80 passes this year. Just maybe you'll get lucky with a flyer on one of them. My bet would be on Sterling Shepard. Your bet, it sounds like it's on Slayton. So.
Yep. Okay. Tennessee, Denver. You want to take that one?
I mean, we can go through this pretty quick. It's Derrick Henry. AJ Brown is dinged up, isn't he? I think he's questionable for this game. So that makes Jonnu Smith even more appealing at this point. So they're gonna give the ball to Derrick Henry a lot. I do worry about a late game in Mile High, or whatever. Are they still calling it Mile High? I don't know. So at Denver, I worry about the air quality there. I worry about, you know, kind of people getting acclimated to that in week one. You already know they're not in football shape. They haven't had a preseason schedule. So I worry about people actually getting through the game without getting injured or without having to take a lot of breaks. So you're gonna have a lot of subs in this game. Denver, I don't know exactly where I'm at on their backfield. I feel pretty confident in Melvin Gordon just because of the contract they gave him. And I really like Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock's gonna have a big year. And Sutton's a little bit banged up as well. Jerry Jeudy is probably the wide receiver out of everybody in this game. Jerry Jeudy is probably the receiver to have in this game.
Yep. Yeah, he's probably the player to have on Denver's squad. Like, I know you're super high on Lock, but I think Jerry Jeudy is he's probably the guy to have right now. Obviously, Cortland Sutton, as long as he is healthy and in the game, he's fine. You know, you're gonna own him if you can. But yeah, I think Jerry Jeudy's obviously got the future there pretty well wrapped up, and I think this year he's gonna have a pretty strong year as a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Cortland Sutton gets a little bit more of the downfield passing work. Jerry Jeudy's gonna have a lot of that crossing, out route, hitch route type stuff. And with Tennessee's pass rush, they just added Jadeveon Clowney. So we didn't talk about that signing, but that really bolsters that defensive line for Tennessee. So Drew Lock's going to have some issues, staying upright in the pocket. So he's going to have to get the ball out quick. And so I think that actually means quite a few dump offs to Philip Lindsay out of the backfield, as well as quick passes to Jerry Jeudy. So I think those are probably the two, you know, between Derrick Henry, Philip Lindsay, and Jeudy. Those are probably the three fantasy relevant pieces out of this game.
Yep. Nothing on Tannehill. You out on that?
I want to see him. He got paid. I want to see him come out and perform after he gets paid. And I didn't draft him in any of these. So I don't have any, I didn't have a notion to, you know, invest in him. There was always better options. So by de facto, that seems like I'm not very into Tannehill right now.
Yeah, he's good. Their volume is just so low. Like
I worry about that for sure.
They were the lowest in the league by far. Like, it wasn't even close. They were a good team. They didn't have to run a lot of plays, but they're from a fantasy relevant perspective, they've got to get more volume for Tannehill to be relevant, in my opinion. So
yeah.
Okay. That's it. That wraps it up. So we had the two Monday night games. Everything else was Sunday.
Quick recap, AJ Brown is not on the injury report, so he's good to go. So
okay, he's good. Yeah, you should be okay. I'd be okay with starting him.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. Okay. Anything else?
No, good episode. I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Yeah, so let's take the pads off. And we will see. Gosh, it's tomorrow. I'm so excited. It has been It has been a long, long year. It has been a long, long time since the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and we had to watch them on Thursday as well. So I'm excited to watch somebody else win a football game. So with that, we'll take the pads off, and we will talk to everyone on Monday night. We're going to do a recording again on Monday evening that will release on Tuesday. It's just going to be a recap of the games. If for recording during the Monday night game, then we'll have the kind of recap for that matchup on our Wednesday recording. So don't be surprised if you don't hear about the Monday games, because let's see, Tennessee, Denver doesn't start until 10:20 Eastern time. So that would be 9:30 Central, 9:20 Central, 8:20 my time. So we might have the Pittsburgh Giants game wrapped up by then. We can talk about a little bit of the fantasy relevance there, but most likely the Denver Tennessee game will get pushed to Wednesday. But with that said, we'll take the pads off and wrap this up and talk to you guys next week.
See you later, Burners.